Our Father and our God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you that we can be in your house, to be back in a place that our heart certainly longs for, where we can worship you in truth and in spirit. We pray, Lord, for the many that could not be with us, that are still dealing with health issues. We ask, Lord Jesus, your healing hand upon them, that they would be able to return once again and worship with us. We pray that you would continue to keep us safe from the virus. Lord, you know the cry of our heart, and wherever we are, in whatever place we find ourselves, we know that you are there and that our prayers are known to you. Thank you for your faithfulness to complete all your promises, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we lean and trust on those promises on a daily basis. Bless now the word that we would hear. Ask that you would make it alive and applicable for each person that would be listening, that you would provide a nugget, a verse, a thought that would move us closer to you, that would make us a more pure and true reflection of your love, Lord Jesus, to this lost and dying world, that many more that need to be called and drawn to you would be done by our outreach, by our willingness to volunteer our time and our talents and skills to further your kingdom. We pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are some interesting sights and sounds, maybe the absence of sounds, that occurred in the past few months. My sister lives, one of my sisters, I have seven, one of my sisters lives in Hackensack, New Jersey, not far from I-80. And so the rush and the sounds of that throughway are heard clearly from her front porch. Well, in the past 2 months, there was an eerie silence. She could no longer hear the rush of the traffic and all the truck noise and the noise pollution that was produced. It was complete silence. There were views that were haven't been seen by an entire generation. The majestic Himalayan range now visible in Sarasaranpur in India. For 30 years, this majestic mountain range with its snow-capped peaks could not be seen. Now they can be seen. For 30 years, that majestic mountain range was invisible, and now it is visible. The sound of silence, the sheer sound of silence in our lives could be incredibly powerful and majestic, and can speak to us in ways that we cannot describe. And I'd like to read an account of a moment like that. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah had that moment. If you recall in the previous chapter that there was a challenge that was laid down, and that the doubting and the waffling between two decisions of whom they would serve, who the children of Israel would show their allegiance to, along with those that worshipped pagan gods that were made with physical hands, molded and shaped, that doubting needed to stop. This challenge that Elijah threw down, and we know the result of that on Mount Carmel. The worshipers of Baal, the 450 prophets, screaming, shouting, dancing, cutting themselves, asking for the fire to come down to consume the sacrifice. Sheer silence, no response, nothing happened. Then Elijah to remove any doubt, pours has the ditch filled with water, everything just doused with water, so there'd be no doubt there were no shenanigans going on here, that this would be an absolute miracle, and the only one that could do this would be the true and living God. And then he simply said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me." And a bolt, thunder of lightning, from the sky comes down and consumes everything. And he has a prayer that the rains come once again, and they did. Powerful, wonderful moment. And we're going to speak this morning metaphorically about two mountains. This Mount Carmel, where this great miracle occurred, and this challenge that God showed all that he is a true and living God. And then Mount Horeb. They're two complete different mountains. And this morning, we're going to take a look at them metaphorically and think about maybe the moments that you had on either one of those mountains. But let's read the account. We'll read 1 Kings chapter 19 through verse 18. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. After he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Sheer silence. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him saying, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehulah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. I'd like to conclude there. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. An incredible moment after what he just experienced. You would think that this threat from Jezebel would have absolutely no impact on him. That this puny queen would come and try to take his life when he relies and trusts on the true and living God that just performed those great miracles. But he caved, no pun intended, and he absolutely succumbed to his fears. And he ran. He ran. He ran so fast that he outran King Ahab here on his way back. So 17 miles. It seemed like he just right now is over functioning. And I think of many times in my own life where the hand of God was clearly upon the events, upon the circumstances, upon me, that were absolutely a moment where all honor and glory went to God, brought me to my knees. But there's a warning after those moments. There's a warning that we all need to heed, that after those moments, we start over-functioning. We start thinking that we might have something to do with what just occurred. In some way, some small fashion, some little token, we had something to do with it. And Elisha is going to find out that he had nothing to do with it. God sent him on a journey, and he needed to be physically provided for. He needed to have that sustenance, excuse me. To endure a journey, a 40-day journey. It always seems to be 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights. God works in very mysterious ways after those 40 days and 40 nights. So he eats, falls back asleep. The angel of the Lord wakes him up again and provides the sustenance that he needs because the journey is going to be long. He arose, and with that strength, went 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb. That is the Mount of God. And this morning, I want you to consider metaphorically two mountains in your life. Introduce to yourself Mount Carmel. This is the mountain that has all the sunshine. Sunny and 70 all the time. All the crowds flock to Mount Carmel, right? All of Israel was there. So gathering and people are there. And boy, there's something about us that wants to be reacquainted with those moments where we can be at those gatherings that are not limited by number. So Mount Carmel, sunny. Crowds are there. Everyone is there. Easy access. Very easy access to Mount Carmel. Actually, today I believe you can drive to that mountain. It's lively and it's dramatic. Elijah experienced the dramatics of Mount Carmel. And there's another mountain, completely different. Mount Horeb. It's quite the opposite. It's wintry, gray, cold. It's a hard, lonely climb. You're by yourself. There are no crowds, no one else. Mount Horeb is that moment you experience at 2 o'clock in the morning with your fears, all alone. And Elijah is experiencing that moment now. The dramatics, the message of the Lord, the word of the Lord did not come through the earthquake, through the fire, through sheer silence. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. As I look back several months now, there were moments that I had that sheer silence. Certainly couldn't go anywhere. Everything was closed, all the restrictions, travel restrictions. If you wanted to go somewhere, you couldn't. And so many times you found yourself to be alone with sheer silence. And God had the same question that he asked Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah was in complete fear. He allowed himself to succumb to this fear and thought that he was the only one. And I think that has to, that type of thought clearly leads to burnout. And Elijah seems to be portraying some of these behaviors of burnout. That all of this was upon him, that he had to do all the heavy lifting, that he was the one that represented 80% of the population, that did 80% of the work. And he was burnt out, exhausted, and didn't feel like his life would produce any good. But God had different thoughts and plans and motivation for him. He was able to see the moment and experience the silence. And it is interesting that it states that when Elijah saw that, when he saw, I don't know, the words that he visualized, these words that he visualized, this moment of silence, he made the dark, lonely climb all by himself. And in our lives, we've experienced Mount Carmel, and we've experienced Mount Horeb, and both are valid places of spirituality, both valid places. I know that many had a lot of difficulty dealing with being suppressed and relegated to their own homes. Certainly those that are single, that do not have a spouse to rely on, family at a distance, living by themselves, very difficult moments. Moments like this Mount Horeb, where they were incredibly uncomfortable in being alone. And it was encouraging to hear all of the responses and individuals that took action to take advantage of opportunities that they had to reach out to individuals that they normally would not have. They felt compelled, I would argue by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to reach out, to make phone calls, to set up Zoom conferences, to engage in an opportunity of fellowship and encouragement that they normally would not have done otherwise. They may have been on Mount Carmel and enjoyed the comforts of safety and family and protection, job security, knowing that there were many others that were on a completely different mountain, cold, gray, and alone, no gainful employment, no one to turn to, and they were willing to leave their mountain of Mount Carmel and help the other. What a picture of God's grace and mercy with Elijah. Elijah was certainly a man of dramatics, as we can read in the previous chapters. He was not short for words, did not back down from a challenge. He knew the true and living God, and he took every opportunity to show the world and his creation that there is only one and true and living God, and that we should all bow down to him alone. But there's moments where the silence you didn't know what to do with. You didn't know how to process it. And if we look back, I hope that there's some things that we talked a little bit about it in Bible class that have been revealed to us, that things have been painfully made vividly aware that we were in need of some kind of change in our lives. I think looking back, things that we've done structurally with our church and reopening it, we had a soft launch, very similar to what I see the guidelines that you have in place, but have done some things a little bit differently. I think looking back on that, we certainly have a lot of room of improvement. I've seen and experienced some interesting reactions from individuals that I otherwise would not have guessed their reaction would have been like it was. And I had to reevaluate maybe some biases that I had in my own life and remove those. But clearly, there's some things that have been revealed to you. When was the last time your church was closed for 2 or 3 months where you could, if you wanted to, could not go in and worship? The fellowship of being together, of studying the word in person, taken away. We are just now starting to sing in the sanctuary, and that's when we excuse those that are uncomfortable to do so. I know that that was very difficult for some of our churchgoers. That sound of silence, of not worshiping, was difficult for them. But we know that God knows the cry of our heart, and we can worship Him with our heart and with our spirit. Elijah had this moment, and the instruction from God was to do what? To go and return. There was work to be done, and he specifically identifies the place, the individuals, the action that should take place. All documented here for us. There isn't much missing. There's no guesswork. There's no ambiguity. The place is the individuals, what should be done. And oh, by the way, verse 18, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him, showed some allegiance to him in that physical form of kissing. Yeah, I think our calculations are calculus off so many times when we try to figure things out from a spiritual perspective. Our calculus is always wrong. God's calculation and calculus is so different from ours. So different from ours. And what a wonderful and loving, gracious way he was able to explore this discovery with Elijah. He knows us. And he is willing to be gracious to us. The Lord Jesus knows us. There's a moment of silence that he had to deal with in the Garden of Gethsemane, in prayer and agony, right? That words cannot even describe as it's described as, yeah, the Lord sweating as if it were teardrops of blood. The angst and agony of the separation from his Father. And those that were with him kept their silence. They were sleeping. They fell asleep on him, his inner circle. The disciples that he really wanted to be there and wanted to rely on and lean on in that moment were sleeping. And asked them, can't you just stay up for a little while? And they couldn't. And so Christ, all alone, endured that agony through the garden. And on the cross. On the cross, endured it alone for us, so that we as sinners, could be cleansed by his shed blood, so that we that are cleansed by his shed blood through his resurrection, as he arose victoriously the third day, could live eternally with him in heaven. He was willing to share all of it with us, and he did. Jesus Christ shares everything with you. You need to believe that he did that for you. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and came to this earth alone and on the cross alone was the only one that could satisfy the death penalty of sin, the only sacrifice that God would recognize, his Son. And he did it for you. He did it for me. You need to believe. And in the sound of silence, when you think you're alone, in the sound of silence, when you have absolutely burnt out and have no energy to move on, call upon God. Allow him to speak in the sound of silence, in that sheer sound of silence. Allow him to speak to you. He knows things and the secrets that you have held in your heart, that you've buried, that you've locked and put another padlock over it and chained it. You haven't spoken a word to anyone about it. No one knows. Well, the Lord Jesus knows about that secret chamber. And he's not going to pick the locks. He's not going to force you to unlock it. In that moment of sheer silence, you will realize that the fighting, the acting, the pretending isn't worth it anymore. That you do want to live. Life is worth living. You have people that love you. You are important. You are valued by God. And you start unlocking. Take the chains off. You take the padlocks off. And I'm here to tell you that there is no more majestic and precious moment when that last form of protection is unlocked. And you, in your humbleness, reveal all of the ugliness in your life before the Lord. You'll never forget that moment. And you'll never forget, as a loving father, to hear and to know and to believe that, okay, I've seen it. I was there when you did it. I heard all your secret thoughts. I'm going to forgive you. Based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross and shedding his blood, I'm going to forgive you. The burden, the guilt, the amount of energy and effort that you've been carrying for all this time is gone. And you're asked to get up and go. There are places and people for you to meet. There's work for you to be done to further his kingdom. There is a purpose for you, and God has it. Allow him in the moments as you look back, and we've experienced all those different things, to reveal to you that if you're on Mount Horeb or if you're Mount Carmel, he's there. He is there with you. And I hope that we can all look back and allow the Lord to reveal to us some things that need to be changed, that we've done wrong, people that we have not reached out to that we should have. He's gracious. He's giving us opportunity to do that. And if you don't know the Lord and Savior, I ask that you allow him to speak to you and believe that he's seen it all. He knows it, and Jesus Christ paid the price for you. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. May he add his blessing to these words.